live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. This is NFL Pregame with Jared Stillman and former NFL wide receivers Derek Mason and Chris Sanders. Presented by TriStar Moving, Harman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Ounce of Hope. NFL Pregame starts now on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And we are live for the first pregame show of the season, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. And I got the squad with me today as we get set for the Titans opening the season against the New York Giants. I've got with me from Michigan State University,
boo,
former wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, Derek Mason. Derek, hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Going to start the season. And I've got with me from The Ohio State University, yes, tippy toes himself, Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver here as well, to start the season. Again, we are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge, a fun lovers neighborhood hangout serving up good mood food, power-packed drinks, and an action-packed atmosphere with bar games galore, located in the heart of Germantown here in Nashville, a few blocks from Nissan Stadium. Sonny's delivers a great atmosphere for sports. Guys, game number one. We got games all across the league, which we'll get into those scores in a second. But game number one for the Titans, coming off of a season in which they were the number one seed in the AFC, yet the disappointment against the Browns. Derek, I start with you. What does game number one mean to you? What did it mean to you?
It's a fresh start. You get an opportunity to, build on your off season. You got an opportunity to build on and see where you're at as a team. They had a really good training camp, really good mini camp. They had some additions to the offensive line. So we're going to see where this, because this is a new look offense.
Absolutely.
That's just what it is. It's a new look offense. A bunch of familiar faces on the defensive side of the ball, but you're talking about a new right tackle, a new guard, new receivers, new tight end. And frankly, a new running back, because Derrick Henry is back healthy now. So we get to see the Derrick Henry, the new Derrick Henry, as opposed to the Derrick Henry we saw in the Cincinnati game.
You know, I agree with Derrick. A lot of questions are going to be answered today. I mean, you say Derrick alluded on a little bit, about Henry. But also, I want to see what Robert Woods is going to bring to this team. They also added Traylon Burks. Burks is supposed to be that guy to take A.J. Brown. So, I'm excited to see what's going to happen. I know the offensive line, we got to ask some questions on the offensive line. But at the end of the day, we're going to see if this team is going to make a push for the Super Bowl.
Here's my question on this one. How much do we expect to see the same Titan team last year that went 12-5 and kept a lot of the pieces in place? And how much do we expect to see a different Titans team given all the changes that they made on offense?
Well, they're going to try to be the same Titan team in regards to what are their fundamentals. Their fundamentals in there. And their foundation is playing really good defense, aggressive defense, and running the football aggressively. So that we're going to see. But also we're going to see a new look Titans. And again, like I explained, the guys on the front line, they're new. They need to gel. We just talked off air about Cincinnati's line and how bad they look. And you mentioned, Jared, hey, it's going to take them a while to gel. And you're absolutely right. So that's going to be the same thing with the Tennessee Titans. And then a new look at the skill position.
Yeah,
so you're going to see a little bit of the old and a little bit of the new.
Yeah, what's the identity of the team? We always talk about, the makeup. What's the makeup of the Tennessee Titans? We don't know. We don't know if Derrick Henry's going to be healthy. We don't know if Robert Woods is going to really contribute, coming off that knee injury. So I'm excited to see if the pieces that they tried to put together on the offseason is going to be something that's going to be something special.
So one thing that I can't get over, which is last year was last year, but the New York Giants thing. And I cannot get over the fact that the New York Giants, I think they're a team that's, I don't want to be rude. Uh-huh. I think they're tanking.
Well, you are being rude.
You are being rude.
I'm just telling you what it is. It's week one. Everybody thinks they're going to the Super Bowl right now. Pittsburgh, who I think a lot of people thought wasn't going to be a great team.
See?
They're up 17-3 on Cincinnati, who just went to the Super Bowl. I know last year's results don't mean anything. The Giants have a new coach. And yet at the same time, I am telling you guys, there's something about this Giants team that just stinks. And I don't, should I not worry about that? Should I not think about it? Should I not consider it? How should I feel about that?
No, it's like last year we had the same conversation with Arizona. It was like Arizona.
No. Yes, Arizona was not this bad.
Do we have the tape?
Arizona was not this bad.
You said
Arizona
you
had a legitimate quarterback.
You did.
Arizona
say that.
Had DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones.
Stop
this
it.
Team doesn't have any of that.
You didn't say that last year. You said that Kyle Murray couldn't win the big game. Did you say that?
And I stand by that. He can't win the big game.
But
he can win a game. This quarterback.
What did
they
do?
They're running this quarterback out of town, Chris.
What did they do to us when they came in?
Not being able to win the big game and not being able to win a regular week one game is not the same thing.
You didn't answer the question. What did Arizona do to us when they came in?
They beat the Titans, but they weren't as bad as this Giants team.
But there was a lot of question marks on the Arizona team, and they came in here. Chandler had six.
Does this Giants team have any player like DeAndre Hopkins?
Saquon Barkley.
No.
Okay. Yeah, if Saquon comes back to rookie form, then yes, he is what Arizona had in regards to playmakers. You know, they have guys that are young that could potentially make plays.
Great point.
But everything depends on, as you know, the quarterback. You know, can Daniel Jones, can this be his year that the head coach gets him to play to his level? They decided to stick with him for a reason. Whatever he's shown them, they decided to stick with him. So does he come out first game of the season to prove that decision that they made, the Giants, in the offseason was right?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot to prove. Even the head coach, Brian Daboll, he wants to prove something. You know, and then you have Jones who wants to prove something. You have Saquon who wants to prove, you know, that he can still be a top running back in this league. So, you know, even though you say this is a terrible team, but it's two teams that's trying to find their identity, the Tennessee Titans and the Giants, so something's got to give.
Well,
so,
one thing, Jerry, nobody knows that they're terrible.
That's exactly where I was going.
There you go.
How much
hey,
of
Derek,
that,
thanks.
How much of that do we take in today, which is, like, the Giants, you brought up Brian Daboll, the coach. I'm convinced Brian Daboll and Joe Schoen, the general manager, that they both came from Buffalo. And I'm convinced that the two of them told the Giants when they took the jobs, like, guys, this is not going to be a one-year thing. This is going to be, like, we're not going to be very good. You brought up they're still sticking with him for a reason.
Yeah.
I think they're sticking with him because they're going to get that number four overall pick. If he doesn't become a good player, it's like, well,
right
we
here.
Tried everything we could. Now we got the fourth overall pick. Let's go get our own quarterback like they did in Buffalo with Josh Allen. And so the thing for me about the Giants is if this game were in November, I wouldn't be worried about the Giants at all. But because it's the first game, there's something about everybody wants to win the first game. And then that makes me nervous for the Titans because, to your point, last year they were terrible.
Yeah, but, I mean, you have a new look. You have a new offense, and they have a new attitude while bringing that head coach in. So even though last year everybody's going by what they did last year, and I understand and I respect that, but this is a new team. This is a new offense. This is a new look. This is a new attitude. So they're coming in here the first game to try to knock off the Tennessee Titans. And if they can knock off the Tennessee Titans and start off fast, never know, it might propel them into a great season. So I don't know. It's a great question.
Well, I mean, if the Giants are able to come out and establish anything, especially in the run game, considering who the Titans have up front, then that bodes well for them. I think the Titans, they understand that, listen, first game of the season, nobody knows. Everybody believes they have a team that can either make it to the Super Bowl or make it into the playoffs. Giants might be under this sort of illusion that they are a playoff team, which if everybody stays healthy, more important than Saquon Barkley, and if Daniel Jones plays well, then possibly, yes. But the Titans are looking at their goals are more loftier.
Yeah.
They want to win division. They want to get into a playoff. They want to have a number one seed again and then ultimately get into the Super Bowl. So we're going to see two teams come out that are going to play physical and they're going to play fast. It's going to be a war of attrition.
Yes.
First game is always a war of attrition. Who makes the most mistakes? Who makes the least amount of mistakes? Who takes advantage of the opportunities given to them? Because there's going to be blown coverages. There's going to be missed blocks. Who takes advantage of those things when they do happen?
Okay, I just looked at the score. I know we're talking about the Giants and we're talking about the Tennessee Titans, about your teams coming in. I just looked at the score. The Colts are losing 10-3 to the Texans. So everybody talked about how bad the Texans are. It's the first game. Everybody talked about Matt Ryan. Yes.
About how good the Colts
That's
are
what I'm saying.
Summer. I mean, my God.
So it's the same scenario with the Tennessee Titans. Everybody's talking about Derrick Henry, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, all those guys. And then they're talking about the Giants saying they're terrible, but they don't believe that in their locker room. They may come out fired up, so I don't know.
I do think this is me.
Uh-huh.
I'm just worried of the Titans not showing up. If I had to tell you what I was worried about the most was, I mean, the realization that we know what the Giants have been, and we probably have a good idea of what the Giants are going to be this year. But it's the first game of the season, and the Titans not coming out prepared, because the Titans lose to teams that they're better than all the time. Now, they always beat teams that are better than them all the time. And next week they'll play Buffalo, and Buffalo is absolutely better than them. And so that'll be part of it. But it's just something about the Titans seem to always lose against those teams. That bothers me a little bit. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at the four biggest stories in today's game. We're going to go four downs. We'll move the chains with our friends at TriStar Moving. We'll do that coming up next. But first, it would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that this time last year we were joined to start the season by our friend Mark Howard.
Yeah.
And then Mark Howard, longtime host of pre- and post-game shows of the Titans in this town, longtime radio host, pre- and post-game on television with the Predators. Mark Howard passed away over the summer. Chris, I know you and he were buds.
Yeah, we were.
You know, it was good to have him on the show with us last year. He was always one to bust both of us up pretty good. And it's a real big loss for the city of Nashville to not have Mark Howard on game day. His two favorite teams, the Giants, who he grew up rooting for, the Titans. It's a shame that Mark is no longer with us. We miss him very, very much. But he was a big part of what we did last season, made our lives a lot more fun. Yeah. Being on the broadcast, and was a big part, both when you guys played,
yeah,
of kind of the Nashville sports.
You know, I learned a lot from his death, and it's a good and a bad thing. It's sad that he's gone, but the one thing that I've learned is we got to tell the people that we see now how much we love them. I mean, I thank you, you know, about 2 or 3 days ago, you called me, and you told me how much you love me. So, D-Mace, mm-hmm, if I ain't told you I love you,
you tell me every time.
Do I?
Yeah. Every time I see you.
but just piggybacking what he's saying, that, you know, Howard was a good dude. He's funny. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew his craft. But the one thing I love about him is his sarcasm. His sarcasm was amazing.
He gave it to you a lot.
Oh, he
too.
Gave it to me. Like,
and he gave it to me too.
Then
I
will make a pick, and he'd look at me like, "Chris, are you kidding me?" I mean, so I appreciate working with him, and it was an honor to work with him.
On the other side, we take a look at the big four storylines right here. Mark Howard, though, our friend, passing away over the summer. We'll continue next. Live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown with the pregame show, Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Derek Mason. And it's time now to move the chains with our friends at TriStar Moving. Moving the Chains is presented by TriStar Moving. My official movers, TriStar Moving, with 5-star service. And of course, we start with first down.
First down.
Ryan Tannehill, the last time he took the field, 3 interceptions against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Chris Sanders,
yes, sir,
is the president of the Boohoo Tannehill crew and the Tannehill excuse-making union.
There you go.
But 3 interceptions for Ryan Tannehill, a big moment for him. The Titans did not do anything with his contract. As Phil Simms said on CBS this morning, Tannehill enters the season on the hot seat. 2 great years with the Titans for Tannehill. Last year, not so much. How do we feel about the starting quarterback going into week 1 against the Titans?
I mean, I think he's going to be all right. I went to watch practice maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he just got a different look in his eye. I mean, everybody knows what he did at Cincinnati. He threw 3 picks and this and that. But I was watching his interview, and he said some things like he was in a dark place, and, you know, he couldn't get out of a dark place for a couple of weeks. But now he has a different outlook of what he wants to do. And I was watching him. He's coaching up people. He's been a better leader on the field. He's talking to all his players, offense and defense. So I think he's going to come out and actually play on fire. And the reason why I say he's going to play on fire, because he overcame the adversity. He overcame all the stuff that the media was saying, I was saying. But he's focusing on his team and getting better as a football player.
I'm glad that Ryan Tannehill can overcome all the things Chris
said. Yeah, I mean, and I've said this before. Last year, I was worried about Ryan Tannehill because he had the weapons around him. And you figure if Ryan could just not necessarily manage the game, but if he could just not make any mistakes at crucial times, this team is pretty much headed to the Super Bowl. This year, I'm okay with Ryan. It's everybody else around him that I have a question mark with on offense, not necessarily on defense. I got a question mark with the offensive line. I got a question mark with the receivers. I got a question mark with the tight end because we haven't seen him. My question mark is not with Derrick Henry. It's just how effectively are they going to run the football with that offensive line. So I'm okay with Ryan Tannehill. It's the other guys that has me questioning how far this Tennessee Titans team will go.
You know, it's just I remember when they played the Kansas City Chiefs when I think the game was on the line. They needed to get two points, and the attitude that he ran through the safety's lips. That's the kind of attitude that he needs playing in this game. I mean, it's not about trying to show everybody that you're a great quarterback in the league. It's just showing the league that you're a best quarterback for this Tennessee Titans team. That's all you need to do. Don't go out and try to prove to everybody that you're the best on their eyes. Prove to the best that you're the best on this team.
Well, he's going to have to because they're going to look to him. And this is what you got to understand. Not just in this game, I think moving forward. Mm-hmm. In order for the Tennessee Titans, to me, this is only me, in order for the Tennessee Titans to get to the Super Bowl or even have a chance and get to the Super Bowl, they have to put it on Ryan Tannehill.
Absolutely.
He has to take more of the responsibility because everyone, we've seen it in the playoffs year in and year out. When it comes to Derrick Henry, teams find a way of slowing him down. And then all of a sudden, now you throw the game on Ryan Tannehill's back. No. Allow him to be the leader on the field. Allow him to display the talent that caused you to give him an extension, that caused you to bring him here. You can't all of a sudden ride Derrick Henry and then say, well, hey, Derrick can't do it right now because the teams are loading up in the box. It's your time to do it now, Ryan. Let him do it during the regular season. Put some more on his shoulders. I'm sure he can handle it because the guys that he have now, I don't know if – without Derrick Henry, that this team, minus Derrick Henry, the team that they have, they're not a playoff team, offensively, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, just piggybacking what Derrick is saying is, you know, Tannehill has got to get that dog back in him. If you look in 2020 and 2019, why was the Tennessee Titans successful? Because of the quarterback play. I mean, he had 33 touchdowns and I think 4 or 5 interceptions, and he played with a chip on his shoulder. You know, when he came in and backed up Mariota, there was no pressure. It seems like when he got pressure now, then he kind of played kind of tense and threw interceptions and made a mistake. Just go back to the beginning in 2019 and 2020 and play like you're capable of playing, and this Tennessee Titans can be successful.
That takes us to second down. Good news for the Titans, though bad news in general. Kayvon Thibodeau, the 5th overall pick in this year's draft, is doubtful with an injury that he suffered in the preseason, as well as their other pass rusher, 9-sacker Azeez Ojulari. Both are doubtful. We'll know officially in a little bit, but it looks like the Titans will be going up against the backup pass rushers for the New York Giants, D. Mace. How big of a deal is that, given the fact that the Titans might have a right tackle problem right now?
Well, when you're going against a team with a first pick in the NFL draft, Thibodeau, who they brought him in to be that sort of T.J. Watt type of player, get to the quarterback, causes disruptions. If he's not playing, then your other defensive end is not playing as well. I mean, this offensive line that we have questions about should feel relieved that they don't have to go up against these two guys. Because with Wink Martindale, he's going to put pressure on you. Now, you know, he has to put pressure on you potentially minus his two bookends.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point because Martindale is going to send a whole bunch of pressure regardless if those two guys are in. The only thing that I'm concerned about the offensive line with Jones, Davis, Brewer, and PT is the communication.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because there's going to be a lot of blitzes coming from different places. So even though you might not have an impact guy to get the quarterback, they're still going to put guys in position on defense to still get the Tannehill. So that's the kind of thing that I'm really concerned about.
That takes us to third down. Harold Landry III, the Titans' leading sacker from a year ago, 12 sacks, including 1.5 in the playoff game against the Bengals last year, signs a big contract, ready to go for the Titans this year. Torn ACL last week, he's out for the season. Rashad Weaver, amongst others, will be put in place of Harold Landry, but Chris Sanders.
Yes, sir.
How do the Titans overcome those 12 sacks they got a season ago?
You know, I think they're going to be okay because look at the dogs that they have up front. They got Autry, they got Dupree, they got Simmons. And then you look at the Giants' offense. I mean, they're struggling, you know, offensive line. They gave up 38 sacks last year. So I just think that if those guys, Autry, Dupree, and Simmons, you know, really attack the quarterback, I still think they're going to be okay. I understand the, you know, the significant loss that we had with Landry, but Landry took on a lot of one-on-one blocks, so he had to get 12 sacks. So I just think if those other guys just make sure that they put pressure on the quarterback and stop the run, I think we'll definitely be okay.
I think from a schematic standpoint, the Titans are fine. You know, Vrabel's going to have those guys playing. It doesn't matter if it's the starter or the backup. Vrabel's going to have those guys given 100%. You know, but this for me, this is a defining sort of moment and season for Bud Dupree. They brought you in here from Pittsburgh, paid you all this money. Your last season was just a wash. Yeah, you did sort of play a lot better toward the last few games of the season, but pretty much you still was getting over a knee. Well, this year you should be fully healthy, no excuses. You should pick up the slack. That pick up on the slack because Landry's not there. But then you have Danico Autry, who last season he was inside, he was a monster. They're gonna put him outside this time. This year, I think he's still gonna be able to get to the passer. But a lot of it depends on what Bud Dupree does. Mm-hmm. If he can get to the passer and show why the Titans paid him all that money, then I think the Titans will be fine. But if he doesn't, if he's what he was at the beginning of the season last year, or most of all season, this defense is going to suffer.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm kind of concerned about because if you look at in the preseason, a lot of guys, those guys didn't play. So we really don't know, are they going to play to the level that they're capable of playing. You know, I agree with D. Mace is Autry has to be ginormous. I mean, sometimes we overlook at what he did last year.
Nine sacks.
That Joker had 9 sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know Landry had 12, but to be honest with you, some of those sacks were gimmies. I mean, I could have put on the one bar face mask and got a sack on that one, on some of those. And I say that respectfully. But I think Autry and Simmons are the main pillar of that Tennessee Titans defensive line.
One thing that worries me, though, is I feel like those four guys all play better together.
Yes.
And that Landry, because remember in 2020 when they, you know, had Clowney and the, you know, Daquan Jones was done and he was out there for the team. Simmons and Landry didn't put up the numbers that they put up last year. And I think Autry coming in was a huge addition to what they did. And then when Dupree finally got rolling, they became almost an elite defensive line. I worry that taking that one puzzle piece out in Landry is going to take them from where they were at the end of last year a couple of steps back.
Yeah, because to me, you're right, because it does affect what everybody else do in regards to that defensive line. It affects what Shane Bowen possibly wants to do on defense. But again, to me, it all boils down to, is Dupree going to show up this season? If he shows up, then I think they can mask some of the things that Harold Landry gave them last year. But if he doesn't show up, man, the Titans are going to have trouble getting to the passer. Why? Because people are going to double team Jeffrey Simmons and leave Dupree one-on-one with blockers. And if he can't get to the blocker, they're going to suffer.
Yeah, I mean, just like what he said is somebody has to win the one-on-one battles. Mm-hmm. One-on-one. Just like what Derek said, Simmons is going to get double-teamed. Dupree get double-teamed sometime. Archie's going to get double-teamed sometime. So whatever guy's in that position, he has to win that one-on-one battle. I mean, that's why Landry was so successful in his last year when he got his contract. It's because he was taking on one blocker as opposed to two guys.
What do you guys think of Rashad Weaver?
He's a dog.
Yeah, I think he showed up in the preseason. He showed up last season at times. You know, he's a guy that I believe, given an opportunity, he can excel. Mm-hmm. He excelled with the opportunities that they gave him, but now his role increases.
Kind of like you.
Yes, exactly. It's like, listen, you show us little things and bits and pieces. Now when you get your opportunity, now you can show us, you know, that you really have understood what we're trying to do. You bought in everything, and you're a player. And I think Rashard Weaver will go out there and get the job done.
And I do, too. And he's so long, and he's physical. I mean, you ever seen how long his arms are and that good punch that he comes coming off the edge? Even though we may miss Landry because he had 12 sacks, don't be surprised if this guy wins some of the one-on-one battles.
So I think the other thing about Weaver that wasn't brought up enough His motor
yep.
is excellent. There was a play in the preseason game against Tampa Bay where he was pass rushing. They completed a pass to the back. The back fumbled the football. Joe Jones knocked it loose. Meanwhile, Caleb Farley is jumping up and down celebrating that the ball came out. And Weaver, who had already run upfield about 10 yards, turned and cut it back 20 yards and jumped on the football. And so he's running about 40 yards at one time in order to get to that football all on one play. And in those preseason games, he didn't really come out, did he? You know, he was out there. So yeah. I think he's got a motor. And on the defensive line, you guys have played with guys that had elite motors. That may be his biggest asset, is that while everybody's going to be worried about Simmons and they're going to be worried about Autry and Bud Dupree, that maybe, to your point about one-on-one matchups, I think he's going to get a lot of those.
Well, that's his strength. He's a guy that never gives up. He's a guy that's going to give you 100%. That's why, you know, when it comes to the defensive schemes and everything else, I believe in the next man up, because Vrabel, I believe, coaches them. He embeds it in their brain. Like, listen, when you go out there, play as if it's your last play. And we see Rashard Weaver playing like that every down. Like, listen, this may be my last play, so I'm going out there and I'm giving it 100%.
Yeah, he's a Vrabel guy. I mean, that's exactly how Vrabel played when he played for The Ohio State University. He played for the Patriots. He never took a playoff. He was consistently physical. And here's the kicker. He's a smart player. And that's exactly what Vrabel wants. Smart, tough, and never give up on the plays.
That takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
I think this one's obvious, right?
Yeah, Traylon Burks.
No. Brett Kern out. Ryan Stonehouse in as the punter today. We got bad weather. Stonehouse is no guarantee to even catch the snap. Derek, you were a special teamer. How worried are you about the punter switch? How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm not too worried. I'm not like you, Jerry.
Oh, I'm worried.
You are like just like on 100 when it comes to the kickers. I'm not that worried. The only thing that worries me is, you mentioned it, the weather. And, you know, will the rain pick up? Will it be a constant rain? And when it's a constant rain and that rain picks up, that ball gets very slippery. So him not having that experience in an NFL game with this type of weather, I'm sure he's played in rain before. But listen, there's a difference when you're in the National Football League playing in front of, you know, 70,000. You know, you're getting paid to do what you do. They just cut the guy that they've had for the longest, put you in there, bad weather. You wonder, you know, if there's going to be a little jitters in him or not.
And they got the other guy on speed dial still, too.
Yeah, they still got the – he hadn't signed with anybody. So, yeah, so, I mean, I'm not too worried about it. But from a weather standpoint, I am worried that, you know, he may let one get through his hands.
Man, experience. I mean, he has I know he played in college, but it's a totally different level when you get in the NFL. You got a lot of people screaming and yelling. And all I'm just looking for, just catch the ball.
Yeah.
Please catch the ball. Because, you know, I think he let one or two go through his hands in preseason. So you can't do that. But the one thing I miss about Kern is Kern just wasn't a punter. He was a weapon. I mean, look at some of the games that they won. Last year with the Rams, a couple of years ago with the Cleveland Browns. So even though, you know, we have Stonehouse, I still wish we'd had Kern because he was a weapon.
On the other side, we'll take a look inside the Titans offense. A lot of changes to get to. That was Moving the Chains, presented by TriStar Moving, my official movers. TriStar Movers with five-star service. Scores around the NFL at the half. The Dolphins all over the Patriots, 17-0. Also at the half, the Steelers lead the Bengals. That's a surprise, 17-6. The 49ers at the half lead the Bears, 7-0. The Eagles lead the Lions in the second quarter, 21-14. Marcus Mariota and the Falcons on top of the Saints, 16-7. The Cleveland Browns up 14-7 on the Panthers. And in the AFC South, the Washington Commanders all over Jacksonville, 14-3. And at the half, the Houston Texans 10, the Indianapolis Colts 3.
Wow.
Who's stunned by that one?
You?
No, I'm not all these people on national TV hawking how good the Colts are going to be this year.
I mean, it's only two quarters.
First
we got
game.
Two more quarters.
There you go. Those are our scores. right here. It's the pregame show live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge down here in Germantown. And again, they got football specials Monday, Thursday, and Sunday, 6 to close, Monday and Thursday, and all day on Sunday. $20 Montucky Cold Snack Beer Buckets, an $8 Dickel 8-Year Bourbon Drink, a $7 Rise and Shine Shot, and $5 Bloody Marys. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What are the keys to victory on the offensive side of the ball for the two-tone blue? Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders go inside the playbook. Brought to you by Ounce of Hope. This is the NFL pregame on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Time to go inside the playbook presented by Ounce of Hope. And as I say this, I'm watching A.J. Brown, just absolutely grown man, some defensive back from the Detroit Lions. A.J. Brown having himself quite a day. He will not be out there today for the Titans, as we all know.
Legit.
So A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and the non-tight ends that they had last season out, Robert Woods, Austin Hooper, and who the hell knows else at wide receiver in for the Titans on offense. Offensive line, David Questenberry, Roger Saffold, who made the Pro Bowl last year, they're out. Aaron Brewer is in, as well as Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, who Chris Sanders calls PT for some unknown reason.
Because I can't pronounce the name. I went to Ohio State.
But it's PF.
Oh.
Petit-Ferrer. So, anyway, with that,
you can't tell that on air, man.
How do we feel about the Titans offense given all the changes and really the uncertainty that is going into today's game against the Giants?
It's a question mark for me. It really is. I think Derrick Henry will be okay. In regards to, you know, the thing is Derrick Henry back? I think Derrick Henry is back now. But I think his job might be a little bit harder because you don't have those legitimate playmakers outside. I mean, Robert Woods has been a playmaker in this league, but he's coming off an ACL.
He's a solid player,
exactly.
But he's not an explosive player.
Absolutely. Yep. Then you have Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, he's a good player, but he's not your deep threat, you know, explosive player. Treylon Burks, you don't know what you're going to get out of him. So Kyle Phillips, he's going to be a chain mover, but again, he's not an explosive player. So with that being said, you know, I don't worry about Ryan, but because of all the new faces and you don't know exactly what you have, it does make me pause on, you know, what this team will do, not just in this game,
but
I think moving forward, I think the defense will be fine. It's all predicated on what the offense does.
You know, I agree with you. And, I mean, I know the offense starts with Derrick Henry, but the one thing I'm really concerned about is the offensive line. I mean, you got Jones, you got Davis, you got Brewer, you got PR.
PF.
P-O-P-F. Whatever, dog. PF. That guy. Okay, let's just say that guy from Ohio State.
I
know Henry's going to get his touches. I know Henry's going to be okay. And I know Robert Woods and those guys are going to make plays. I know they're not explosive on the perimeter. But the offensive line, it scares me because when I looked in the preseason, look at the pressure that the quarterback was getting because of the offensive line. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, if you have a good running back, you have good wide receivers, and your offensive line can't block and your offensive line can't protect, it's going to be a long day for the running back and the receiver. So, you know, even though, you know, we're having some question marks about the receivers, question marks about Henry, but my question mark is the offensive line.
Here's what I can't get over. I was for, we all were doing the draft show together when they made the trade, Treylon Burks in, A.J. Brown out. Treylon Burks, the first day of practice, absolutely took over. Other than that, he's been a little here, a little there, a little in, a little out. I'm very nervous about Treylon Burks and what he's going to be able to give this offense this season. And it'd be one thing if they drafted Treylon Burks in the third round. Mm-hmm. It's another thing when he is the replacement for A.J. Brown. And when the Titans made that trade, they had to feel comfortable that he could replace A.J. Brown. And so far, it doesn't look like he can, and that makes me very nervous, Derek.
Well, I don't think the Titans necessarily thought, okay, this year he would replace A.J. Brown. He will replace, you know, the production of A.J. Brown. I think for them, it's over the long haul that he will become the player and possibly even better than what A.J. Brown was. And then for them, it's, okay, he doesn't come with the history of injuries. You know, he's not dealing with any injuries per se. So he'll be ready for today's game. So I'm not worried too much about, Treylon Burks and what he can do. My thing is, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
He might make a play or two tonight. He might drop a ball or two tonight. But that's not going to dictate how I believe his career will go either way. So for me, you know, the question mark is still the guys on the outside. But I think with time, that question mark will be answered. Either way, answered. And either they have guys or they don't.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. But with Burks, I want to see him just finish the game.
Yeah.
I mean, if you finish the game, we good. here's the thing about it is he's going to get man-to-man coverage all day long. And if he doesn't make plays on one-on-one, then we're going to have a problem. I mean, because they're going to see those multiple defenses all week. They're going to see cover one, or they're going to see cover three. And if he can't make the play in the perimeter, then I think this offense is going to really, really struggle.
For me, this is what Downey needs to do. They need to line up Treylon Burks on the outside. Mm-hmm. If it's off coverage, throw the ball to him.
That's it.
Just throw him a quick hitch. Throw him a smoke. Just throw it to him. Get the ball in his hands. And let him get into the rhythm of the game. I said that prior to the last preseason game. Just get the kid the ball, because listening to Vrabel, we're not changing anything. You know, he's just – no, this is your first-round draft pick. He hasn't caught a pass. People are questioning him. Get the ball in his hands as quickly as possible. What did they do? First play, they got him the ball quickly on a hitch route. That's what you have to do with Treylon Burks, with a young guy. First play of the game, if you see off coverage, throw it to him, let it get a couple of yards, and then now he's in the flow of the game.
Yeah, it's just kind of like this. When we played for Steve McNair, when we would get a pass, right, we was excited because
we're
like, woo! But then the thing about it is, you got into a certain kind of rhythm, and that's exactly what Treylon Burks needs to have, because if you look at when he went into when he was in the offseason, there was never no rhythm. He was just kind of like a guy just out there. Yeah, he caught a touchdown, but other than that, you know, he really didn't do nothing in the preseason. So get the guy the ball, get him some rhythm, and let him gain some confidence in while the game is going on.
What do you guys think about the weather today? The on and off rainstorms, Derrick Henry running the football. What does it mean for the field? You guys have played on that field in this kind of weather. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a slick field out there. And, you know, I'm sure Vrabel is preaching to them, wear the right shoes, wear the right shoes, wear the right shoes. And typically it's screw-ins, even though I can never wear screw-ins. But as a receiver, you have to really hone in on your route running, keeping your chest over your knees.
Yeah.
Don't extend, because especially if you do that when it's not raining, sometimes you slip. Just throw rain on top of it. If you don't run your route properly and get the proper technique, you're going to slip every time. Yeah. So I know he's preaching that to the wide receivers as well as the running backs. But if it continues to rain, then expect Derrick Henry to get 35 carries.
You know, I love playing in the rain. I mean, I had some of my best games in the rain, because the thing about it is, I know where I'm going. The defensive back doesn't. Mm-hmm. So he's in his back pedal. So he's in a disadvantage already. So if I just come off the ball, like what Derrick said, chest over my knees, you know, break down all those things that you do as a receiver, then I have the advantage even though it's raining.
On the other side, we'll take a look at the Titans defense. So going up against this Giants offense that
there you go.
I'm not sure they're very good. We'll get to that coming up. Hey, again, we're hanging out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. This will be our spot for the pregame show all season long for the home games. And again, they have cabanas each equipped with their own televisions, which is perfect for a little private watch party. That's right, out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge in Germantown. Jared, Chris, and Derek, it's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What are the keys to victory on the defensive side of the ball for the two-tone blue? Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders go inside the playbook. Brought to you by Ounce of Hope. This is the NFL pregame on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Inside the Playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope. We take a look at the defensive side of the ball for the Titans. The New York Giants last year in total offense, 31st in points scored.
That's pretty good.
31st In comes Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator from Buffalo. He's the new head coach. Mike Kafka will call the plays. He's the offensive coordinator, formerly from Kansas City. But the Titans defense last year at the end of the year was playing elite level football. So with that, Chris Sanders, we start with you. How do you feel about this Titans defense against Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, who hasn't been good and healthy for 2 years,
right?
Kenny Golladay, who signed that big contract, and 1 year in, they already want to get rid of him. Wandale Robinson, a rookie, and some tight end named Bellinger I've never heard of.
I mean, Bellinger.
Never heard of him.
I never heard of him either. Hey, but yeah, hey, I really like what our defense is going to do. You know, you got Autry, you got Dupree, you got Simmons. I'm not worried about the front. The only thing that I'm kind of concerned about is the secondary. I mean, we got a rookie starting. I mean, I know that McCrary played good early in the preseason, but it's a whole different ballgame when you get into the regular season because you got guys that can run. You got Golladay, you got Tony, you got Robinson, you got guys that can run in the perimeter. So I'm not concerned about the front. I'm not concerned about what Daniel Jones is going to do at the quarterback position. I'm just concerned about the secondary.
Well, I mean, once you get into the season, you know, it's the front line, even minus Harold Landry, I think will be okay. Now, you know, I say that, but I also say people like, you know, guys like Bud Dupree and Rashawn Weaver, they must elevate their game. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity for the both of them to do that. I think Zach Cunningham needs to continue to play the way he did toward the, once he came to the Titans, to be that, not just that run stopper, but he talked about him getting better in pass coverage as well when they go to the passing downs. To me, it's the secondary. And it's not like I don't think these guys can play, because they can. It's just an experience.
Yep.
These guys hadn't logged in enough minutes. And when teams, it's different from the preseason to now, because preseason, nobody's really game planning. No. Everybody knows this. True. Offenses, they're running so vanilla stuff. It's basically just curls, hitches. We're not doing anything else. But when you get in the season, now they're game planning for you. They're game planning against your weakness. The Giants are game planning against the Titans' weakness, and they feel the weakness is their secondary. Not necessarily Byard, but the inexperience of the three guys that they have out there. So, but if they can hold up, then I think they will be fine. Defensively, from a run standpoint, I can't see Saquon getting off. Now, he might, but it would be a surprise if he does. But it's the passing game that sort of worries me, those corners not having that experience.
I mean, it's all up to Shane Bowen. And the reason why I say up to Shane Bowen, don't put those guys in position to fail. Because the thing about it is, you look at last year when they went against Arizona, you know, Hopkins had 6 catches for 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. Kirk had 5 catches for 70 yards for 3 TDs. So the thing about it is, you can't put your receivers in position to fail. McCrary's not a big guy, but he's physical at the line of scrimmage. But the thing about it is, if they see a smaller corner out there, they're going to throw out the ball and let the receivers make the catch. So those are the things I'm concerned about. I'm not concerned about the front. I'm concerned about that secondary, because just like what Derek said, the inexperience and guys knowing what to do.
So I don't think Daniel Jones has ever been given a chance. Uh-huh. Comes in his first year. They fire the coach after his first year. Whole new coaching staff comes in. The team hasn't been very good. Their general manager has done a terrible job. He got fired last year. After 2 years with a new coach, that coach gets fired. They bring in a new coach in the mix, and Brian Daboll has no skin in his game. If Daniel Jones doesn't cut it, they'll turn around and fire Daniel Jones, or cut Daniel Jones, or let him go. He declined his fifth-year option. I don't think he's ever been given a chance to succeed. That being said, Derek, we were there when he got drafted. Uh-huh. We were wondering what in the world was going on when that happened. Of all the people that I don't fear in this league playing that position, he's up there. And so even though I'm with you about the secondary, there's a part of me that wonders, how worried should we be about Daniel Jones throwing to a rookie, a washed-up Kenny Golladay, and a tight end we've never heard of?
Well, I mean, I'm glad the Titans don't have sort of the same sentiment as you, Jared.
You should hope they don't.
Yeah, but that's because, you know, you're not coaching and you're not playing. You're seeing it from a different standpoint. But I'm sure the Titans are going in like, listen, I understand this guy hasn't done much, but they pull out the clips. I'm sure they got like 10 or 15 clips of what the Giants hope Daniel Jones can be, whether it be throwing the ball deep down the field, he can do that, he has a strong arm, or whether running the football. We all know he can run, he can tuck it and run. He's athletic. So the Titans are heading into this game not saying, hey, Daniel Jones can't play. What they're saying is, say, listen, we showed y'all about 20 of his highlight film, our highlight reels. Don't allow there to be 21, 22, or 23, because he only needs one or two big plays that can change the tide in this game.
Yep, you know what this situation reminds me of? It reminds me of Tannehill in 2019. Everybody was dog.
Oh, no.
Okay, hold on. No.
It's
no,
more like
no,
Marcus no, in 2019 no, than it is Tannehill in 2019.
No. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm talking about when they were talking about the individual player that Ryan was washed up. He couldn't play. You know, he couldn't make the big pass. So now you got Tannehill coming in that has an edge to prove, you know, that he can play in this league. That's the same thing with Daniel Jones. He has something to prove. He's in a contract year. They didn't sign him to his fifth-year option. All those things, you don't think this guy's going to come out and prove that he can play this game and make plays. Derek alluded to it so profoundly that if he completes a long bomb for 60 yards or a 30-yard pass for a touchdown, his confidence goes up and now in trouble.
How many players in the NFL have something to prove and then try to go out there and do it and aren't good enough to be able to do it?
They said that about Ryan.
I mean, you're right. There are guys that you know, figure, okay, this is my prove-it year, and for whatever reason, it never happens. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it will happen. What I'm saying is the Titans can't be that arrogant to think that
it can't happen on this day. No, I agree with you about what they can think. Yeah, I'm talking about reality, though, for us.
Oh, for us, because we look at it differently. You know,
I said this the other day. I said the only way the Titans lose this game is if the Titans go into this game thinking they can't lose this game.
Yeah.
But if the Titans approach this game and take the Giants seriously, then they can't lose this game because the Giants aren't good enough.
Well, the Giants believe they are good enough
now. That's what I'm saying.
But if the Titans come out and do what we believe they can do, say in the first half, mm-hmm. then it will show going into halftime. It will make the Giants question whether they are a good team or not. And
right,
that's
like
what
the
you
Texans.
Want.
The Texans are up 13-3 on the Colts right
exactly.
now. The Texans think they can win this game.
Absolutely.
The Texans think they're not a bad team. Jacksonville is down 17-3 right now. They know they stink.
Exactly.
And that, like, I agree. Here's my thing, though. I just don't think Daniel Jones is very good. And not only do I not think he's very good, he's got no weapons.
Well, he has one, Saquon.
Who hasn't been good in 3 years.
You're absolutely right about that.
And not only that, the last time these two teams played each other, it was a monsoon out in the Meadowlands. Derrick Henry ran for 170 yards and dominated the game. And Saquon Barkley, who was rookie of the year this season that they played, Saquon Barkley had like 40 yards on the ground and 15 yards through the air. Vrabel's entire game plan is going to be about Saquon Barkley.
Exactly.
So I'm not worried about Saquon Barkley. So, to me, they have to get beat by Kenny Golladay, who is a washed-up receiver with a bad hip, Wandale Robinson, who's a second-round rookie, and I don't know enough about Wandale Robinson, so he might be really, really good, and some guy named Bellinger that I've never heard of who plays tight end.
Well, Bellinger played for Wisconsin, I believe, if I'm correct. So Wisconsin always turn out offensive line and some sort of tight end.
So he might be good. But it's like, for instance, there are players on other teams like, say, next week when they play Buffalo that I know are good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And these guys with the Giants, I just don't think they're very good. That doesn't mean that the Titans can't lose because this is football and it's the NFL. I'm not saying that. I just, when it comes to, am I worried about the Giants? Am I worried about Daniel Jones in the offense? I shouldn't be worried about those guys.
But sometimes you're looking at what happened in the past. I mean, I understand and I respect that. But he had a change. He had a change of coordinators, change of head coaches. And sometimes a change is actually good. So now he has a fresh start. He has a fresh coordinator, fresh head coach, all these things. He might come out and have a different outlook on things to see he can play in this game. So it's the first game of the season. I agree with you. If he was the sixth or seventh game and he's being terrible, but this is the first game of the season and anything can happen.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to have our game inactives. When those come out, we'll let you know who's in, who's out. We'll take a look at the injury report. And, of course, we'll get you updated on all the scores around the league. And what about Derrick Henry's return? That's all to come, as well as a visit from TD and our picks to click and our final game picks and much more. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. And we are live for the pregame show at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge right here in Germantown. again hanging out. And big news, the Houston Texans with another touchdown. Wow. They up 20-3 midway through the third quarter on the Indianapolis Colts, the national American media's favorite team, the Indianapolis Colts, the team that ESPN, Fox, and everybody else can't get enough of. Matt Ryan and the Colts down 20-3 on the road at the Texans.
It's the NFL. Anything can happen. So there you go.
I mean, it's the same thing with the Giants. Did you say the Texans were terrible early in the season?
Oh, I still think the Texans are terrible. I think this is more a reflection of Indianapolis.
Yeah,
and everybody out there just bowing down. I mean, I think Washington's terrible, and they're up 14-3 over Jacksonville.
Yeah,
could
Jacksonville.
Be a good day all around here if the Titans can take care of business against the Giants. We do have the inactives for the Titans, so we'll get to them. First, we'll start, though, with the Giants and some big names off the top. Out for the Giants, pass rusher Kayvon Thibodeau is officially out, the fifth overall pick in the draft. Aziz Ojulari, the 9-sack rookie from a year ago, he is out for today's game. Darius Slayton, the wide receiver that they're trying to trade, he's out. Dane Belton, Tyree Phillips, Justin Lane, and Antonio Williams are all out today for the Giants. Out today for the Titans. Outside linebacker Derek Tezuka, who they picked him up last week when Harold Landry got hurt. Running back Julius Chestnut is inactive. Don't know why he's on the team, but that's okay. defensive lineman Naquan Jones, the nose tackle, he is out. I'm a little surprised by that. It's a big defensive line room.
Uh-huh.
That means that Deshaun Hand's active. That means that Kevin Strong is active today. But Naquan Jones is inactive. Jamarco Jones, who is on the verge of winning the Kevin Pamphile Award for most games and practices missed without ever playing on the offensive line. And Lonnie Johnson Jr., all inactive today for the Titans.
Not Lonnie.
They did make a couple of – I do like Lonnie. They made a couple of transactions yesterday. Trenton Cannon will be active. We could see him in the kickoff game. Today he was elevated from the practice squad. And Joe Jones, the linebacker,
not Joe,
has been elevated.
Not Joe.
You don't even know who that is.
I have no idea.
He was really good in the preseason.
Okay, there we go.
Number 42.
Not Joe.
Let's start with this.
Yes, sir.
Which is Ojulari out, Thibodeau out. How big is that for Tannehill and the offensive line in the pass game?
Well, it's huge for him. You know, even though Wink Martindale will still bring these exotic blitzes and everything else, but you got two guys that the Giants were going to lean on heavy to get to the quarterback. They're no longer available for the game. You know, so for the Titans, it's good because you are inserting two brand new guys on the offensive line, and I guarantee you, Wink Martindale was chomping at the bit to get to this game. But now he doesn't have his two best pass rushers. That bodes well for the Titans, but they still have to get the job done with those two first-year guys.
I mean, those guys are pivotal for the Giants, but the thing about it is I agree with Derek. You know, Martindale's going to send some exotic blitzes. So even though you still don't have those two impact players on the edge, you're still going to get pressure from somewhere. And I think it's not just more about those guys not being there. I'm still concerned about the offensive line making sure they pick up the blitz, because even though you may not have those two edge rushers there, they may not pick up a blitz, and you still get the same impact as opposed to those two guys there.
What do you guys remember about the opening game and what it meant for the season when you guys played in the NFL? Right now, 3-and-out for Indianapolis, 6 minutes to go. They're punting to the Texans. If the Texans score another touchdown, this game is over.
Yeah.
And Indianapolis, with all the hype, will be 0-1. Jacksonville most likely will be 0-1 as well. And if the Titans beat the Giants, they could be 1-0. And while the Texans would technically be in first place because they, you know, won a division game, I think we all know, like, the Houston Texans are not a huge threat to go out there and most likely win the division. But how much did the opening game of the season matter to you guys when you played?
I think it mattered a lot. Well, I know it did. Because, I mean, it doesn't dictate how your season will go, but it does, if you win, it does get you off on a fresh start. It makes the mood a lot better coming in Monday morning to watch film. Even though in a win, you're still going to have things that you need to fix. But the mood is, you know, a jovial one. as opposed to coming in and, you know, everybody got their hair down and everybody's disappointed. So for me, it was getting off on a fast start, making sure that you withstand whatever, you know, barrage that the team brings. Make sure that you don't make those costly mistakes that will hurt your team, because you see that across the board with every NFL team, even college team. First game of the season, you see a bunch of mistakes, whether it's false starts, holdings, turnovers. So as a guy playing in his first game, you want to make sure you minimize those mistakes, minimize those turnovers, and give yourself the best opportunity to win.
Yes, I mean, it builds a lot of confidence. And I want to go back to 1999. A couple of years before that, we were 8-8, 9-7. Then all of a sudden, we move into the stadium, and we beat a Cincinnati team with 36-35.
A terrible Cincinnati team. But it came right down to the wire.
It was a crazy game. But when we walked in that locker room, you knew that there was something different about this team. So if the Tennessee Titans come out and win this game and win it handily, then now you can look around and say, yeah, we got some things on the offensive line. Yeah, we got some receivers that are inexperienced. Yes, we got some cornerbacks that are inexperienced. But the camaraderie that you can build by winning the first game.
Did you know when you beat the Bengals by 1 point that you were going to be running a free kick back in the AFC Championship game for a touchdown?
Yeah, you did.
Were you expecting that when you walked in there after? Way to go. We beat the Bengals by a point, guys. Yeah. Hey, we're going to be in the Super Bowl.
Hey, it was like, I'm glad we won that game, because they had a high-powered offense, Cincinnati did. Their defense wasn't that good, but their offense is high-powered.
Yeah. What do we make right now of the situation the Titans are in? They're the two-time defending AFC South champions. Nobody is picking the Titans. And this is an every year thing. I don't know what the Titans did to the national media, but every single year it feels like nobody ever picks the Titans. Everybody except for Peter King is picking the Colts. They're down big right now to the Texans. Washington and Jacksonville's actually kind of in a dogfight. I can't imagine tickets were hard to get for that game. But what do we make of kind of this position the Titans are in, where it feels like nobody's picking them to succeed this year?
I mean, They should be used to it, you know. They are a team that, regardless of what they have, you know, offensively and defensively, people are so hesitant outside of the state of Tennessee, outside of the city of Nashville, they are hesitant to pick them to go all the way or pick them to get to the AFC Championship game. To me, Mike Vrabel has proven that no matter who he has on the field, he's going to get those guys to play for him. And ultimately, they're going to win the tough games. So I think some of it comes down to, as we know, the quarterback. Mm-hmm. The quarterback is not an elite quarterback. And people feel that, you know, the Titans win in spite of Ryan Tannehill. So I think every year that Ryan's underneath center, unless he proves them wrong this year, they're going to continue to question whether the Tennessee Titans are a Super Bowl contending team.
You know, I think that Mike Vrabel thrives on this. And the reason why I say he thrives on this is because if you look at some of the games last year, everybody counted them out, the Rams, everybody counted them out, the Bills, and they found a way to win. I think they play better like that. When they play a game and they say the Tennessee Titans should definitely dominate, that's when they play terrible. Mm-hmm. So when they're behind the eight ball and the fans are saying they're terrible and the media saying they're terrible, Mike Vrabel just figures out a way to motivate his team to win. I mean, I think it's about, two or three years ago, I can't remember, but when they played the Patriots and the Ravens in that season, everybody counted the Tennessee Titans out, but they came together and they won. Why? Because they're built that way.
That was the year they went to the AFC Championship
game. AFC Championship, yep. Because everybody said they couldn't.
What do we make of how long it'll take this team to be ready to, you know, the new pieces to fit into place? When you guys played, it was a different era in terms of practice.
Uh-huh.
As in people that played football actually practiced football. Now it's more so like only 14 days with pads, no two-a-days in training camp. Starters, for the most part, don't play preseason games. And I do think when I look around and I see kind of new systems or new coaches or new players, you know, Baker Mayfield's down big, and he's a new guy somewhere. And Bill Belichick's put in a new offensive system, and they're down big. And Matt Ryan is new, and they're down big. And I do wonder how long it takes for those things to click. That being said, the Titans are a veteran team and running the same offense they've been running for the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's the question on because it happens with just about every NFL team unless you got an experienced NFL team. We saw that with Buffalo, how they methodically just moved the ball down the field, minus the turnovers. They blow the Rams out completely.
Yeah.
But they came to play. Everything was clicking, even though they didn't have a bunch of guys playing their preseason. Well, the Tennessee Titans, we know that from past history that, you know, listen, first game of the season, especially last year, those guys didn't play a lot during preseason, and it showed up in the first game.
Yep.
I'm hoping that won't happen, but I believe the odds of it happening is very high. Now, will it cost them a game? I don't think so, but I do believe they will start off slow and then eventually come around and get this thing going. Because to me, if it's not working, they will go back to what works for them, and that's running the football and playing defense.
You know, just with the guy, a lot of the guys not really playing in the preseason, I think when you get into the season, guys start to establish what their role is. And once they understand their role is, with me, I knew I was going to catch maybe maybe one or two every two games. So I knew my role. So I think with Burks and Woods and Henry and all these pieces that haven't played together, I think with the first and second and third game, it may take that to where guys know their role. They know what they have to do. So if they can do that and start fast, I think we'll look at the Tennessee Titans football team. They can be pretty good.
Coming up next, we'll check in with TD, who's at the stadium. Teron Davenport will join us. We'll get the latest on the Titans as they get set to take on the Giants. And what about the field conditions out there? What's it mean for Derrick Henry? We'll get into that coming up next. Again, we are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. And again, they've got cabanas each equipped with their own televisions, which are perfect for private watch parties. So go ahead and call ahead of time about the cabanas out here at with our friends out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge. Jared, Chris, and D-Mace, it's the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Out here in Germantown, as we get you set for kickoff between the Titans and the Giants. By the way, the Indianapolis Colts roughed the punter in the Houston end zone to set up a first down. Houston is on the move in Indianapolis territory, up 20-3 as they are winding the clock down to the end of the third quarter. I can't believe that Indy ended their season the way they did last year at Jacksonville, and now they are starting. They're starting their season this way. It would be nice for the Titans if they can get a victory as far as that's concerned. Davenport, ESPN, joins us now live at Nissan Stadium where the Titans and the Giants are getting ready to kick off. TD is presented by Craneworks and Rental Works. TD, let's start with this. We all see the rain outside. We know Nissan Stadium. These two guys, they're familiar with playing on Nissan Stadium's turf in conditions like this. What does it look like out there? What does it mean for the game today with two running backs that are probably going to be featured a lot?
Yeah, it literally just started raining again. So it's been off and on, but it, like I said, it just started coming down. And that's everything for the Titans because you know what it is, Derrick Henry special. And that's what where he thrives, right? It gets muddy, and they give him the football. So it works in the Titans' favor, especially considering they're so good against the run. So we'll see what happens there. But conversely, Saquon Barkley is looking to, you know, it's redemption for him. So we'll see if he could take advantage of these opportunities he's going to get.
TD, what does it look like with the quarterbacks throwing the ball in warm-ups with the on and off rain so far?
Oh, they were fine. They were fine. No issues whatsoever. I didn't really watch Daniel Jones at all, but I watched Tannehill and Malik Willis throwing, and they were just fine.
Well, TD, now that what do you think about the two inactives for the Giants, both of their defensive end? What does this mean for the Titans offensive line?
Yeah, that's major because, you know, when you take out the Giants' two best pass rushers and with all the questions, especially at right tackle, you know, with Petit Frere as a rookie, you know, getting his first start, that's a good thing for the Titans. But then the other thing that you have to consider is just what they like to do as far as Wake Martindale with all of the stunts and twists and things like that and not knowing who's coming and everything. He may have to get a little more creative, so that could stress some of the guys, you know, Aaron Brewer and Nate Davis, you know, as the guards.
Now, TD, do you expect the Titans to involve Treylon Burks a little bit more and early in the game. I know the rain is coming down hard, and this is tailor-made for Derrick Henry, but to try to get this rookie, get him some confidence and get him involved.
Yeah, I think it's, and we talked about this, right? You know, getting a receiver involved early and how you could get him to check into the game, that's one way to do it. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get him some early touches, you know, some screens and things like that. It would make sense.
You know, TD, you know, we're talking about, you know, Burks and all that, but can Kyle Phillips, could he be a big part of his offense today?
Yeah, I think Kyle Phillips would be major to get him involved. And he's someone, you know, when we on Run TMC, our favorite matchup, well, mine, Darnay Holmes and Kyle Phillips, the former UCLA teammates. So
yes,
I think they could get him involved for sure.
You know, we talked about Chig in the preseason. We talked about Hooper. They really didn't make that much noise in the preseason. But also, can these guys really impact the game with the rain being really bad out there today?
Yeah, they can. They definitely can impact the game. You know, Chig is a guy, you know, a move piece. You get into the red zone, that's when you can move him around and do different things. So I think he could be involved. And Austin Hooper, you know, with these conditions like this, the more, like, high-percentage passes, that's something that you'll probably see more of, you know, because if you're going to throw the ball, you want to – it's going to be tougher to throw it down the field. So having a guy work the middle of the field and make those type of plays, I think it would help.
TD, the Giants don't have a lot of really good players on their team, but they do have Dexter Lawrence and Leonard Williams at defensive tackle. And we know what Wink Martindale did the last time his Ravens defense played Derrick Henry in the playoff game 2 years ago. How concerned should Titan fans be about those stout defensive tackles in this kind of weather with that defensive coordinator knowing that Derrick Henry's going to get the ball?
Well, I think where the concern is going to be is like inside zone, right? And in those type of situations where you have those cutbacks and things, those are two guys, especially Lawrence, you know, because he's so massive, you know, he can occupy a couple gaps and it's harder to move him off his block. So that design cutback lane is a little bit tougher to be there. So I think that's, you know, where the concern would be. But you look at Nate Davis. I mean, he does a really good job run blocking. And I'm just curious how Aaron Brewer is going to do against, you know, bigger guys like a Dexter Lawrence or a strong, agile guy like a Leonard Williams.
Do you expect the Titans defense to sort of sit back and play that sort of zone defense to not let Daniel Jones stretch the field from the outside, or do you expect, because of Daniel Jones' past history of him, you know, being inconsistent, that they will rush the passer?
Yeah, I think they're going to attack him, and that's one of the things, you know, in talking to Kevin Byard, you know, he said that Daniel Jones will have a tendency to turn the football over, but he also is very good, especially if we're playing man. You know, he'll find a crease and go. As a DB, your back is to him before you turn around. Next thing you know, he's 10 yards down the field. So you're right. I think they'll work a lot more zone, but I think they'll attack out of that zone.
You know, the defense has the up front. They're pretty good. You have Autry, you have Dupree, you have Simmons. You know, with Landry, do you think that Shane Bowen would change his defense up a little bit because Landry's not in the lineup?
I don't think he's going to change it a lot. I think they're still going to rely on those twists and the TE stunts and those things. You factor in Rashad Weaver and what he brings. They're going to kind of use a collection of guys to take the place of Harold Landry. And Ola Adeniyi, you know, he wasn't listed on the inactives. I saw him come out and, you know, with just his shoulder pads and helmet on, just kind of working some things, you know, seeing how that neck feels. And apparently he's good to go, and that's another guy that they'll use a lot of. So I think you look at a combination of Adeniyi, Weaver, Dupree, those guys collectively are going to replace, Harold Landry.
TD, last one for you. Ryan Stonehouse, first game as a rookie punter this weather. Have you seen him in warm-ups, and what are your expectations for Stonehouse today?
Yeah, I mean, he caught the ball fine in warm-ups. There weren't any issues. And I tell you one thing, and I forgot to mention it on Thursday. Ryan Stonehouse, before practice on Wednesday and Thursday, I saw him over there. He's on the jugs machine. So I guess he hears you, Jared. Now, all jokes aside, he was catching snaps off of the jug machine and getting it down. You know, so clearly he acknowledged that there's something that can't get better from that perspective. I like the fact that he worked on that because it's been 8-9 years. I've never seen a punter on a jug machine.
There you go, TD, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works. Great stuff, TD. Enjoy the game. We look forward to your breakdown afterwards.
All right, appreciate you guys. Take care.
Yep, TD joining us. You guys, in all your years on the jugs machines,
zero.
You guys ever seen Craig Hinchcliffe ever come over and take some snaps off the jugs machine?
Not that I know of, but Craig didn't have.
So you weren't worried about him.
Exactly. I wasn't worried about him catching the ball.
It was funny because we were at practice earlier this year. Chris and I were. And we were talking with Coach Steckel and Les Steckel, not Luke Steckel, his son who's on the Titans staff. We're talking with Coach Steckel, and we were watching receivers that were just standing at the jugs machine, just catch, catch. And Les Steckel looks at Chris and goes, could you imagine, like, just how many times in a game do you just stand there?
Yeah, you don't. You got to move. You got to move. Your body, you got to be moving as a receiver.
They
just
do the little chop and then the hands.
Wait. Did you say chop?
They do the little chop, little hands. That's all they do now.
What in the Sam E.
Flop? I think I could do that. Absolutely. I think I could go out there.
That ball's coming out a little bit faster than what you think.
I think I could catch it, though.
You're not an athlete, though.
Do you think I could catch it?
Yeah, maybe like at 20 miles per hour.
I want, like, whatever they're out there,
maybe
like,
10.
Whatever, you like, 10? Austin Hooper's out there doing, I want, like, one.
He can get you to 10 miles per hour.
Yeah,
I
but
think.
He can be the opposite end zone, so it'll come real slow to you.
He need to have he need to have your helmet on and gloves.
Oh, I definitely need to have the gloves. How would I catch in a game? With my gloves on.
We used to do it without gloves on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No helmet.
Exactly. No helmet.
Let's take a look at the scores around the NFL. Right now, the Eagles are up on the Lions 31-21, and A.J. Brown really is that entire team right now. And apparently there's a fight going on as that game, small little fight. Jacksonville has narrowed the gap. They trail Washington 14-12. Miami all over the Patriots 20-7. Pittsburgh, maybe the surprise of the day, up 20-14 on Cincinnati. And the big one, the Ravens all over the Jets 24-3. Some things never change. The Bears on top of the 49ers 13-10. Who saw that one coming? Mariota and the Falcons over the Saints 26-10. Marcus so far in that football game 16-26. 178. He has 8 carries for 59 and a touch. So Marcus right now over the Saints 26-10. And of course, the Colts, though they are driving, they trail 20-3 right now in the fourth quarter. They are inside the 5-yard line at the Houston 4 on a first down. It does look like the Colts realize if they don't get something cooking, they're going to lose this game. So it looks like Indy is going to pull within 10 as they are driving inside on first and goal. Maybe not. Did he catch that?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So then it looks like they will pull within 10, but we'll keep you updated. Coming up next, our first edition this season of Picks to Click. Who's going to click and why? We'll get to that next right here. It's the pregame show live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge in Germantown, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
This is NFL Pregame, and it's time for Jared Stillman and former NFL wide receivers Derek Mason and Chris Sanders to make their picks to click.
Bring it on, Chop. Let's go.
Brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Picks to Click here on the pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. And again, we are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. They've got great football specials Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. 6 to close on Mondays and Thursdays. And all day on Sundays, $20 Montucky Cold Snacks beer buckets, $8 Dickel 8-year bourbon drinks, $7 Rise and Shine shots, and $5 Bloody Marys. Those are my picks to click. It's time now for our picks to click here on the program. The way we do it, we take one offensive player, we take one defensive player. Who's going to click and why today for the Titans? And let me say this.
Yes.
With it monsooning intermittently
don't say Derrick
outside.
Henry.
That's. I mean,
yeah, don't
do
say
we
Derrick
have to
Henry.
Say
yeah.
that Derrick Henry is not
exactly.
allowed to be? This is a group decision.
He'll pick him.
Best 2 out of 3.
He'll pick him.
Okay.
Should we not allow Derrick Henry to be the pick?
I say we should.
Chris?
I agree 100%.
Okay, nobody can 100%. Pick Derrick Henry. We start with Chris Sanders,
yep.
your offensive pick to click. Who clicks today and why?
I am going with Treylon Burks. He has got to be big today. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick for the Tennessee Titans this year. If he's going to get man-to-man coverage, he has to make the play, even if it's raining, hands down.
I don't know if I can go with Treylon Burks.
That's my pick, man.
I know. But man-to-man, is he going to be on the field, Chris Sanders?
Yeah, he may not finish it, but he's going to be on the field.
Here's mine.
Let's go.
PT or PR, whatever, say, whatever Chris calls him, Nicholas Petitpierre, he's going to be the guy that I think will have a really good game, my breakout guy. I think it will be him because it's tailor-made for him, I think. The weather, he's going to be running, blocking downhill, so he's going to display, you know, that all of that 6'6 and 300-plus pounds. A man that he is.
Why is it so hard for you guys to say Petit Ferrer?
It's hard. I said Ferrer.
No, you
said it's Ferrer. I add the at the end. It's Ferrer, not Ferrer.
My pick to click is going to be Austin Hooper today. Here's something that I expect, and I think the Titans' offense this year with all the moving parts, it's going to be a lot like the way that you guys played before Derek became an established number one receiver. Where it was a lot of short, it was a lot of safe. I think Robert Woods will play the role of Yancey Thigpen on this team. And I think Austin Hooper, though he's not nearly as good, do not think that I'm making this comparison, but I think he'll play the role of Frank Wycheck. A lot of passes in his direction, and I don't think the Giants have the linebackers in order to be able to cover Austin Hooper, nor do I think they have the defensive backs to be able to cover Austin Hooper, since their best corner and their best DB is Adoree Jackson. So they're going to need as much help as they can have in the secondary on this one. I'm going to go with Austin Hooper. Defensive side of the ball, Chris Sanders.
I am going to go with McCrary from Auburn. That's who they're going to test him right off the box. They're going to say, oh, he's a rookie. He's a smaller, you know, kind of defensive back. So I think he's going to get tested early and all day.
Zach Cunningham. Yes, I'm going with the Vanderbilt grad. Zach Cunningham. Because this is, again, I believe this is a game that's made for him. They're going to run a football a lot with Saquon Barkley. So he's going to have to get off those blocks. And then, more importantly, they're going to line up. Saquon's going to come out the backfield as well. This is an opportunity for Cunningham to show what he's been working on in the offseason.
So I was going to go with an inside backer for the Titans.
Uh-huh.
But it's not going to be Zach Cunningham.
Okay.
It's going to be David Long Jr. And here's why David Long Jr. is going to be my pick to click. Because the Titans last season, when they really started to become effective with their pass rush, David Long was always somebody who was kind of benefiting. He and Byard kind of playing that robber position. You know, they would just happen to get the ball. The quarterback would throw it, and all of a sudden they'd find a way to grab it. I think David Long is going to have some big plays today as Daniel Jones is going to be under pressure. He's not going to trust his offense. He's going to be trying to throw the ball. The pass rush will get there. I think David Long Jr. can get his hands on one and completely change this ball game. And I think people sleep on how good of a player David Long Jr. is.
I mean, he showed how good he was last year. He's versatile. Vrabel likes him even more this year with another year up under within that system, another year as a pro. So I'm not surprised that you picked David Long. He can be sometimes the forgotten guy in the big scheme of things, but I believe that both Shane Bowen and Vrabel know exactly what they have in Kevin Long Jr. David Long Jr.
I think he's a good player. He's fast, and this is the one thing I love about him. He has great instincts. I mean, if you look at what he did last year against the Rams when he got the interception, he's always consistent around the ball. So it's a great pick. I don't like to give you a compliment, but yeah, that's a good pick.
Those are our picks to click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Chris Sanders, Treylon Burks. Roger McCreary.
Why you say it like that, though?
Derek Mason, Nicholas Petit Ferrer, a.k.a. PT.
Or PR.
Or PR, whatever Chris wants to call him. Whatever made-up name. And Zach Cunningham. And I'll go with Austin Hooper and David Long Jr. One thing I do want your opinions on. You know, every time Bill Belichick gets asked a question, he's down 27 right now to the Dolphins. But anytime Bill Belichick gets asked a question about games that happened in the past, he just stands there for a second and just says, well, I mean, that was last year. Every year is different. It's different every year. It's always different. But I do want your opinion on this. The Titans last played the Giants 4 years ago at the end of the 2018 season. Mm-hmm. It was a monsoon in the Meadowlands, Marcus Mariota versus Eli Manning. That's how long ago this was. Both teams had star running backs. Derrick Henry had just emerged, having a 238-yard game the week before against Jacksonville, and Saquon Barkley was on his way to the Rookie of the Year award. In that game, both teams wanted to run the football. The Titans did run the football. Derrick Henry on the ground, 170 yards on 33 carries. Saquon Barkley, 14 carries for 31 yards. They bottled him up on every play. Knowing what we know of Vrabel, how much do we look back at that, think about the weather today, and think about Vrabel's ability to keep Saquon Barkley from taking over the game for the Giants?
I don't think too much about that game. I don't think there's any, you know, correlation other than Vrabel's still a head coach, Taylor Lewan is still a left tackle, and Derrick Henry is still in the backfield. But everything else, well, Ben Jones is the center, but everything else has changed up front for them. So, you know, the offensive line then was much better. Mm-hmm. They had played some significant snaps together, and they knew exactly what they wanted. And then you had to truly worry about, you know, Marcus running the football. I think this team is built a lot different. They don't have quite the experience they need on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. It's still a work in progress. So I don't expect, but I think they'll take the same approach, run. But I would be surprised if Derrick Henry had another 200-yard game because this offensive line is so inexperienced at those key positions, whether it be the guard or the right tackle.
I think they'll take the same approach, but I think we got to kind of look at it overall because you got different players, you got different coaches, you got different schemes. So it's a different team. So even though you may take the same approach, things are different. You know, the head coach of the New York Giants, he does things different than the past other head coach. So I don't think he focuses on the past because it's different players, different coaches, and different schemes.
Well, here's the biggest difference. Arthur Smith is no longer offensive
coordinator.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's a big difference.
Actually, at that point,
it wasn't Arthur.
Matt
you're right.
LaFleur was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Of the Titans.
It was Matt LaFleur,
wow.
Yes.
And so Todd Downing's in there. What do we think about Derrick Henry? Last year, he was the best running back in the league. The year before that, he was the best running back in the league. The year before that, he was the best running back in the league. But he did come in into the playoff game, only 60 yards rushing. Didn't look the same coming off the foot surgery. Derrick Henry on the wet turf today. How do we feel about Derrick Henry looking like Derrick Henry given the injury that happened to him last season?
I'm not worried about it. Derrick Henry is still the best runner in the National Football League. I have no more to say, you know, in regards to that. What he did last year, last game of the season versus the Cincinnati Bengals, I'm throwing that out of the window. The guy had missed 9-10 games. He was rusty coming back into a situation. I didn't expect him to be the Derrick Henry old.
Right.
I expect him to be the Derrick Henry of old first game of the season this afternoon versus the New York Giants.
You know, I think physically he definitely can do it. I went to watch practice a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he's cutting on that leg. He looks physical and he looks explosive. The only thing that I may be concerned about is just the mental part. I mean, you got to get past the mental part because you're coming off, you know, an injury that was significant as his. Sometimes it's hard to get back to, you know, mentally of not worrying about the injury. So if he can get past that, because everybody knows physically he can do it, it's just getting back to the mental part.
Meanwhile, Jacksonville has taken a one-point lead, 15-14 on Washington with 12:04 to go in the fourth quarter. Let me say this.
Oh, there you go.
Washington, man.
Washington sucks.
They can never get it together. Between that terrible franchise, they printed out. They had mugs in the gift shop, their new Washington Commanders logo.
Uh-huh.
And the outline where the W was, the backdrop of it was Washington. The state.
Didn't nobody notice that?
Apparently not.
Oh, it's
one thing after another with that organization. Everything they get
they
wrong.
They deserve that.
Meanwhile, so Carson Wentz, the Titans are going to – he just threw an interception on a screen pass to Miles Jack. This Carson Wentz is terrible. He just threw a screen pass interception to – I guess Miles Jack isn't even on the team anymore. 44. whoever that is for Jacksonville, just intercepted a screen pass from Carson Wentz. And speaking of Carson Wentz's former loser team, the Colts.
Oh, my goodness.
They just punched one in off of a Daniel Jones or a Davis Mills turnover.
Uh-oh.
They just punched one in, Jonathan Taylor. It is 20-13 right now.
Oh.
Between the Texans and the Colts with about 7.5 minutes to go. What do we think about these two AFC games, AFC South games?
They're big games.
Yeah.
You know, Jacksonville is, you know, they're trying to prove to everyone.
How do you throw
everyone
an interception on a screen pass?
That's Carson Wentz.
That's Carson Wentz. And that's why Indianapolis is saying, this is why we feel we are a better team, because we don't have that guy.
Yeah.
But they're starting off slow. But, I mean, Jacksonville is showing that, you know, all those bad years and all of those first-round picks and top picks that they've gotten, now with the right head coach, that they possibly can make some noise. And they score again, Jacksonville. And possibly make some noise in the AFC. Again, I don't think Jacksonville's going to the playoffs, but I think they will make it hard for those in the AFC South, whether it be the Tennessee Titans or the Indianapolis Colts.
You know, Jacksonville has a good quarterback.
Well, so, here's the moral of the story to me.
Yeah.
Washington, if they lose this game, they lost it. You know, I'm not sure Jacksonville won it, but they lost it. If Houston, that just turned the ball over, that set up that touchdown for Indy, if they lose, it will be because they lost it. If Indy loses this game, they've turned the football over, they roughed the punter in the end zone, they lost it. And that's the thing about the Titans today, is that they need to make sure that they don't lose the game today. It's one thing for the Giants to beat them. It's another thing, which I'm not sure the Giants can do. It's another thing. Trayvon Walker, I think, is the one that intercepted that screen pass. It's another thing if the Titans beat themselves today. And a veteran team like this with Mike Vrabel as the coach, they should not beat themselves today.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans are the better team. But if you look at last year when they went against the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, you have a fumble, two fumbles and an interception, and then you have two and three, three and outs. You're not going to win a lot of ball games. So they have to come out fast. They have to be aggressive, and you can't just make mistakes. I mean, we're looking at what Jacksonville's doing. We're looking at what's happening with the Colts. They're good teams, but to look at what they're doing, they're making bad penalties.
Some teams are good enough to overcome turnovers. We saw that with Buffalo. Some teams are not good enough to overcome two and three turnovers. I don't think the Titans, from an offensive standpoint, is good enough to overcome two or three turnovers.
On the other side, Mike Vrabel's keys to the game, plus our final game day predictions. We'll do it next. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Time now to take a look at Mike Vrabel's keys to a Titans victory today. If the Titans are going to beat the Giants again, we are live out at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. I'm going to say this. We got the two-minute burn in front of us. We got the Bengals and the Steelers big coming down to the wire there. We got Matt Ryan trying to lead the Colts for a tying score with 4 minutes there.
Oh, my God.
And we've got Baker Mayfield that just got the Panthers back into the game, as well as Carson Wentz trying not to screw up the game more for Washington against Jacksonville. Let's start with Mike Vrabel's first key to the game, which, of course, is the elusive running back, Saquon Barkley.
You look at the explosiveness, the speed. Everybody's at the point of attack. You know, we understand the strength in which he runs at. You know, I hope that we don't have too many, you know, one-on-one tackles. I hope that there's some more guys at the football when he has it. You know, they've got other guys that are good with the football. You know, Tony, you know, Robinson, you know, the quarterback is going to have it. You know, they've run him in the past. He can run, and he will run. So, you know, those are all guys that we're going to have to be able to make sure, and tackling will be, you know, critical like it is every week. But, you know, I think in this first week that just, you know, our fundamentals really show out.
Derek, let's start there. How much do you think internally the discussion for the Titans is about not letting Saquon Barkley win this game for the Giants?
I think that's, you know, from a defensive standpoint, I think that's the number one goal, is because, you know, this team, when Saquon Barkley was drafted, this team was built around Saquon Barkley and his ability not only to run the ball between the tackles and outside, but also be a pass receiver out of the backfield. So I'm sure when the guys came in Wednesday, that game plan, they targeted and put a star on Saquon Barkley, because if Saquon Barkley is having a really good day,
it takes the pressure off of Daniel Jones to win the game for him. But if they're struggling with Saquon Barkley, now you put the ball into – you put the game into Daniel Jones' hands, and that's what the Titans want, but the Giants don't want.
Yeah, I mean, if you kind of look at this Giants offense, who scares you on this offense? Barkley. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, I know we talked about the receivers on the perimeter. They're just okay guys. But
we talked about how they didn't scare us.
Yeah, and I'm saying didn't scare us. But the only thing that I'm concerned about, I think we're going to bottle up the running game, but I think the screen game, we got to be careful on the screen game because he's really good in space. You heard Mike Vrabel talk about it. We got to make sure they make the tackle, but also they got to tackle in space and he can't get loose.
Key number two, the Titans losing Harold Landry, 12 sacks a year ago. Out for the year, Mike Vrabel says they got to move forward.
We've done that since, since I've been a part of playing this game. That's not, it's unfortunate. It's disappointing. Feel terrible, obviously, for Harold and the work that he's put in and his value to our football team. But we have to move on and, get everybody ready to go win.
But that's the mantra of Vrabel. And it goes all the way back to his playing days with New England or Pittsburgh. It's like, listen, we coach in such a way that, everybody is prepared and everybody's going to get an opportunity to make plays for this team. You just got to be ready when that opportunity comes. So he's exactly right. I mean, losing Harold Landry is big. But in their mind, it's like, hey, this is an opportunity for another guy to come in and prove he can play.
Yeah, I mean, that's the motto that they have. They say different guy but same results. I mean, that's what they happened last year. When you have 91 guys out, 91 people, that go in and out, I mean, you're still getting results of making plays on defense and offense. So I think they're going to be all right on defense.
Finally, Brian Daboll, a new coach for the Giants, former offensive coordinator with the Buffalo Bills. Brian Daboll is in. Comes from Buffalo, also New England, also Alabama. Mike Kafka is their offensive coordinator. He will call the plays today for the Giants. He was the quarterback coach with Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what Vrabel says about facing a new coach in game number one.
I mean, I think that there's a base. I'm sure there's things that Brian will want to do that has been brought with him from different places. Alabama, Buffalo, New England. Certainly the influence that Mike's had being in Kansas City. So these guys have been around good offenses. We'll have to be ready for everything. It's the opening week.
Derek, what do we think about the unknown factor of a new coach who has never coached a game before?
Well, you just don't know how he will go about coaching a game, during a regular season. You can go back and look at film of him being a coordinator and some things that he did, but it's totally different when you are the coordinator and then you are the actual head coach. So that's a little bit of unknown, trying to figure out, what this team is going to do in relative to what the Titans want to do. You can go back to preseason, but they didn't show you much in preseason. So you prepare for, the scheme that you may have saw him run at other places. And you just hope that, he doesn't, throw a curveball in there that'll throw your defense off guard.
Yeah, there's a difference between being an OC and a head coach. I mean, you got a lot more responsibility. So I think this is positive for the Tennessee Titans is because he's not been in this position before, so you're going to see those early mistakes.
The Indianapolis Colts have scored.
Oh,
there you go.
A PAT away from tying the game.
And you were celebrating
the Texans.
Already.
I was.
It's the NFL now.
And the Texans turned it over. And here's what I'm hoping in this game. I hope that both teams suck. That's my hope. Not my expectation.
Just
my
your hope.
My hope.
What if he misses the PAT? He'll be excited.
I'll be the happiest guy in the world. Time now for our game day predictions. Who wins today and why? We start with Chris Sanders.
Uh-oh.
Who wins today, final score, and why?
I say the Tennessee Titans 21-10. I just think that the Tennessee Titans are a better team overall. You got a team that's still trying to figure out the identity. They have a new head coach, and, the quarterback has struggled, and, Saquon Barkley's not sure if he can be a great back in this league. So I just think the Tennessee Titans overall will win this game 21-10.
Well, I'm going with 17-13 Titans.
Oh, that's going to be a close one right there.
I think because of the weather, because of the slick field, the Titans are going to play the field position game with the Giants. And they're going to, the game is going to stay close. I think the Titans are going to take a commanding lead early. The Giants come back late in the game and make it a closer game than what it actually was.
All right, I'm going to go three right here. I'm going to take the Titans 20-13. I think it's going to be an ugly game. I think Derrick Henry's going to have a good game. That's going to be the difference. I think Washington comes back and beats the Jags. And I think Houston wins in overtime against the Colts.
Ah.
So I'm going with three predictions right there all at one. That's going to do it for us. Again, we'll be back next Monday before the Titans Monday Night Football game against the Bills. I want to thank all of our friends out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. This will be our spot for the home games this season. Everybody, enjoy the games.
Yes, sir.